This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's it. The Cardinals' winning ways continue. They've won four of their last five to move to 5-4 as they defeat the Bears 29-9.
Plumbers 911 Football Monday starts now with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Bears fall to the Arizona Cardinals 29-9. And it was a devastating loss for multiple reasons, but I'm going to be here hanging out with you guys till 5 a.m. ready to talk about it all. Good morning. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys. We got Tyler Ferengar in the building holding things down on the producing side. And I told him when I walked in, I said, Tyler, open the lines early. Open the lines early because the people have things to say. You have something to say about this game. You were watching this thing and thinking to yourself, what the hell am I watching? There were some interesting quotes coming from the post game here on 670 The Score that I thought were interesting. Olin Krutz talking about being a part of games like this where the locker room is lost. Said that when he heard the guys talking this week, said he heard it before. It's the conversation of losers. It's a bold statement from Olin Krutz, one of our favorites, but didn't say anything that we all just didn't believe. And we'll get an opportunity to hear from Coach Eberflus, who, oh my God, sounded defeated, looked defeated. That wasn't before the season Eberflus. Before the season Eberflus with Caleb Williams and a great defense, smiling with his beard shaved, looking good with his wife shouting her out. Halftime Eberflus. Absolutely not. All right, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. I would love to talk to you about this game and just get your thoughts. There are a lot of takeaways, a lot of things that you can point to. You know, I usually do the blame game a little later in the show, but I have no problem starting it off from the very beginning. Because it might be a quick game. One where you point to the head coach and say, this is who is to blame? Again, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Ready to take some phone calls about this game because, boy, man, let me tell you. My family was upset about whatever was going on in this one. I was trying to tell him, hey, man, leave me alone. Don't bother me during this thing. And it was from the gates from the very beginning. My wife said, what's wrong with you? I said, listen, the Bears, even though they have a good defense, they cannot afford to go multiple possessions without points on the board. And for whatever reason, and it's not just because, you know, you can look to the amount of points the Bears have scored in the first drive or the first quarter of a game and say they've been inefficient. They've been unable to put up points. But when you watch the games during the year, go back and watch them, they've moved the ball. They've gotten past the 50. The problem is they shoot themselves in the foot far too often, and this game was no different. You thought the Bears looked good going into this game with the first possession. Again, 312-644-6767. Got a bunch of calls lined up. Can't wait to talk to you. Tyler, shoot me the first one because I'm just hot right now. I got so many notes. I got so many things I want to talk about today, but I want to push that to the side because I really just want to have a regular roundtable conversation with somebody. Tough game to watch. I had Caleb Williams tweeted it out beforehand. about my expectations. What were some good props that I thought he had? Thought he was going to go over 20 passing or completions, had 22. Thought he was going to go over 220, had 217. Maybe a couple of drops could have fixed that. All right, let's go out to the phone lines, man, because I'm ready to have a conversation today. Let's go to Isaac out in Lyons. Isaac, I wish it were a happier Monday, but I'm glad we get an opportunity to talk, man. What was your most frustrating moment about this game or frustrating thing?
The most frustrating was not being able to get a touchdown at all. Three field goals to me was like kind of like pitiful, to be honest. I feel like Caleb Williams could have gone for at least like 200 or I don't know exactly how many yards he was going for, but at least 200 yards, and it was just not a good game on what I was looking at. And I kind of wanted to hear what your take was on Tyreek Stevenson on his benching.
Like, what about it specifically? Ask a more specific question. Just what I thought about it overall?
Yeah, so like, do you think he deserved to get benched, or do you think like it could have been like something like interview wise, or like between him and the coach?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Isaac. For me, you know what I'm saying, when I'm thinking about this game last game, how it went down, obviously looked terrible. Tyreek Stevenson facing the crowd, looking like an idiot while the play was going on, and he would admit that too. I'm not talking trash about Tyreek. I'm just saying he would admit that as well. I think the biggest issue for me was that. Listen, we all got jobs, right? We're all out here working hard, just like me, just like you, right? If I went into work and I messed something up, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I messed something up, fine, cool. I get it, right? At my job, your job, wherever you're at right now. And your boss, you know that he messed up too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you both messed up. You messed up, and you're willing to accept that. Your boss messed up too. Like I said, we all got regular jobs, right? And then you come to work on Monday and you're in trouble, but your boss isn't. That would make me feel a certain type of way. You know what I'm saying,
yeah,
Isaac?
Yeah.
So for me,
yeah,
but hold up though. So do I agree with the benching from the very beginning? Yes. Do I agree with it? No, I don't agree with it because there's no repercussion for Coach Flus, right? So I am very much an eye for an eye kind of guy. I don't agree with that. I like what they did, you know what I'm saying, in terms of having him feel something, because clearly it wasn't just a Tyreek thing, it was a whole team thing. Everybody felt that he was acting up during the week or not taking everything seriously, so therefore something needed to happen. But yeah, didn't it feel weird to you seeing him on the sideline, knowing that Coach Flus, everybody was eating him up all week long?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I also do you think that we should keep Coach Flus, or should we start looking at options, or... Because I seen a stat where he's 0-17 on Sundays.
Yeah.
So
now 18.
You know, like we haven't won in a long time on a Sunday. You know what I'm saying? And that's when everybody's sitting around at home watching these games, and you know this is prime time.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for the call, Isaac. By the way, man, I listen. I think when it comes to Coach Flus, it depends on. I think for me, I was on board with Flus being the coach of the Chicago Bears heading into the season, especially after the last two, because I felt like he got men to play at a high level despite the circumstances. And I think if you really look at it on a micro level, what was impressive about it was because it was a bad team, right? He had a bad team playing hard and willing themselves to a few victories. To me, that was impressive to get a team full of grown men that makes millions of dollars to play hard despite how bad they are. And then the assumption for me was that he was going to be able to get guys to play even better on a good team. Like, oh, damn, now that he has a good team, and if he makes them play hard, now the Bears are going to be great. However, you forget that now that they're a good team, the players have different expectations. Hear what I'm saying? Now that the team is good and they believe in themselves in a different way, the expectations are different for the coaching staff. So if you lose, it is now being highlighted. People are like, yo, hold up. We did our job. We feel like we're good. You guys aren't doing your job. And that's when you lose locker room. And I feel like that's what's been happening the last couple of weeks with the Chicago Bears team. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Te dije, I told you. I'm ready to have conversations today. Let's go to Timmy out in Deerfield. Timmy, what you frustrated with, man?
Dave, I'm so thankful for your show. I love your show, but I'm very frustrated. Nobody's talking about it. It's almost like a deja vu from last week. 16 seconds left before halftime. He's aligned in a prevent, and they run the ball to Mercado, and, you know, him losing his team. Nobody's putting it on the line for him anymore. It seems like, you know, they were holding people under 21 points per game. This is 29, and he's more reactive rather than proactive on defense. And my example to you would be this. Sunday Night Football, the Vikings, they were trying to contain Joe Flacco with 2 minutes left. If it was Eberflus, he'd sit back and wait, and Joe would just hit some shot passes here and there. You know what? Brian Flores said, pin your ears back, go after him as hard as you can. They sacked him probably 3 times on that possession, and they won easily because they were proactive and they were going to take chances. And that's the difference. You know, when they're reactive with great athletes, you can get away with it. He's got great athletes. He doesn't want to let them go, and that's a problem. That's why we're losing.
Yeah, to me, that was frustrating because what I think was frustrating, too, is that, you know, when it comes to the running defense of the Chicago Bears, they've seen big runs from running backs over the course of the 8-game season. They've seen Jonathan Taylor run all over them. They've seen Tony Pollard. They've seen guys on big runs, even Chuba Hubbard against the Carolina Panthers, a paltry team. They still gave up that big run. Yeah. And I think what was unfortunate in that moment, right, when talking about Eberflus and losing the team and not doing things properly, finding moments to really just lose the game, you got to read the room, Papa. Read the room. The Cardinals, before that, they did not convert, and then they were just giving it up. They were just like, all right, man, we're out of here. Here's a run play. Like, and Flus is seeing something completely different, right? Seeing something completely different where he calls a completely different pass play. Same thing holds true for the Bears during their 2-minute drill in the first half. When they completed a couple of passes by God's grace of Caleb's arm because they were calling terrible plays, and then there was like a minute five left, and instead of using one of their 3 timeouts, because even I could see on the field that their guys were gassed. Read the room, bro. Read the room. Your guys are tired. Call the timeout. Instead, what do? They keep the guys going with this hurry up, little baby hurry up offense. Caleb gets sacked and it ruins the whole drive and it puts them behind the gun. So again, it goes back to Flus. Read the room, Papa. We all can see it, but you can't. And that's the frustrating part.
I so much appreciate your insight and bringing it out, because it's really extremely frustrating for all of our fans waiting the whole week to see if they're going to do anything. I can see Tyreek in his body language that he doesn't give a you-know-what, because it's like, I'm just out here, I'm just doing that. He made some nice plays here and there, but he got beat one time by Harrison. So it just seems to me like he doesn't, like, Gannon, who was under him, out-coached him today.
Yeah. Well,
Gannon out-coached him today.
Well, here's another thing, too, when I was watching that game, right? He's the offensive guy, Gannon is, right? And when you were looking... How many times did you see the Arizona Cardinals run the ball back to back to back to back to back? Why? Because they understood that's what worked for them. They understood that was the bread and butter. They understood they couldn't pass the ball as well as they could run. So what did they do? Like you mentioned with Brian Flores, they pinned their ears back on the offensive side of the ball. Their linemen went and attacked the Chicago Bears, who obviously were dealing with a ton of injuries. But you have to read the room and understand those things. And I think that that's something that he failed to do in that situation. Timmy, I appreciate the call. All right, let's go to 8. There's no 8. Got you. Let's go to Steven out in Detroit. Keep these phone calls coming in. Again, it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score. I'm your therapist today, Papa. I got my cup of coffee in my hand. I'm listening to you. I got my notepad out. I got my glasses on. I don't have glasses on. But Steven, I'm ready to listen. What do you think about Flus's performance today?
You know, the irony in all of this is that if Eberflus had any small ounce of humility and took accountability really, really serious this week, rather than doubling down and acting like a defiant loser that he is. I think I would have given him a little more credit, and I think the players would have at least played much more harder. And I think, unfortunately, because he had been skirting responsibility and always been blaming. If you hear him press conference after the game, his entire tenure here, he always blamed it on execution. And I understand that the players are the ones who have to do it, but it's the responsibility of him and his coaches to get that into the muscle memory for the last 2.5 years. And I think after that Hail Mary botched play, the second to last one where they gave up 13 yards closer to Hail Mary, and he was arrogant enough to say it didn't matter or it doesn't matter. I think that's where people, the fans and the players themselves, finally had enough of Eberflus and his entire coaching staff. And the reason I say this is because I think a lot of people know people like Eberflus in real life, you know, people like colleagues, bosses,
yeah,
who doesn't take responsibilities very, very seriously. And they see that in Eberflus. And I think a lot of people finally gave up on Eberflus because they see regular people in regular life,
Steven,
just like Eberflus.
Let me ask you this. When you see his handling of high pressure situations, do you think it's simply just a coaching issue for Coach Eberflus, or is it in these situations where he is leaned on to be an actual head coach of his team?
I'll be honest. I think he's just, way over his head coaching defense, being a coordinator. And also, I've always felt that he lacked situational awareness, which is kind of evident in the press conference whenever he talks and really loses a lot of people with his coach speak, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's funny he kind of started talking about accountability all of a sudden today, like a teenager or a child who learned that word and to just repeat that word over and over again like a broken record. But the damage, unfortunately, is done.
Yeah.
And I will say this about Ryan Poles before I go. I think a lot of people are now tuning out, or at least getting off the bandwagon on Ryan Poles after
what
we saw tonight.
No way. Listen, why? Listen. Why? Why would you say that? That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
Well. Listen, both he and Eberflus shared the same agent in Trace Armstrong. So there's a bit of a compromised position, maybe, that Trace Armstrong is the one controlling. And then the fact that, listen, offensive line looks like a total garbage. I think you will agree with on that. And that's on him. You know, the fact that he decided that this offensive line was good enough to at least give Caleb the protection that he deserves is totally preposterous.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but Steven, you got to remember, right? You got to remember that this isn't a final product. First of all, what we're not going to do is trash Ryan Poles on this show overnight, right? You might want, fine. Flus isn't the right guy. We can agree with that. In the present, not the right guy. Ryan Poles, one, you keep Flus because you're not where you're supposed to be at anyway, which is the point of my argument. Second, when it comes to the offensive line, I agree. I feel as though he did not do enough with the offensive line. However, you cannot fix everything in one offseason. He proved that in year one when trying to right the ship. He proved it in year two. This next upcoming offseason is when he'll put those finishing touches on the painting. First two picks, offensive lineman. Who says no? Like when they put out in Twitter. Who says no? First two picks, off stud guards or a swing tackle. Who says no? Plug them into what you already have. I think, if you want to talk about Ryan Poles and maybe where he, should get a bigger portion of the blame, is believing that Braxton Jones could be a generational talent. You get Darnell Wright, understandably so, but you make zero improvement to your other tackle position because you feel confident in what he can do. Is he capable? Yes. Have you realized now in the present he is your swing tackle? Yes. And you have to find somebody else a bit better to make you feel good about that situation. According to Windy City Gridiron, 76% of Bears fans, 76% of them, reportedly dissatisfied with Eberflus's performance. Do you think he deserves more time to prove himself? Will winning cure everything? Take more of your phone calls. 312-644-6767. The beauty of working this overnight over the course of years is that you get to talk to some people that become regulars, like my guy here, Chicago Johnny in Las Vegas. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning, guys. All right, let's call a spade, all right? Now, I guarantee you, everybody in Chicago sees that Eberflus is a bad, bad coach, except the general manager. Why does everybody see? I mean, he calls the wrong plays at the wrong time. And there's another point I want to make, right? I guarantee you, there's not one owner, that would keep a head coach who is a keeps a record of 3-18 on the road. No way would he be a head coach at any other team. I mean, the guy is not a good head coach. And I said this last year, guys, when Ron Pulse made the decision. They got rid of the body, but they kept the head of the snake. And they better get rid of the head of the snake because he's not a good coach. It's nothing personal, but he's not a good coach. And that offensive coordinator, he's got to get the whole team's got to go again. The whole coaching staff has got to go again because he's not a good head coach. And the offensive coordinator, they keep calling the wrong plays at the wrong time. Now, why is it that everybody in Chicago can see that, but the general manager? So now, what did they say about the general manager? What does he see that we don't? I don't understand it, guys.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Johnny, because, again, man, I do appreciate you calling in all the way from Las Vegas. When you're looking at, this team's identity, right? I mean, Flus is supposed to come in, supposed to be that guy. You know, Shane Waldron's supposed to be, who do you think is more to blame in that situation in your mind in terms of why this team isn't operating at its highest level, whether it be on the offensive side or as a team as a whole?
Definitely the head coach, because like you guys said, he does not take any responsibility.
He did today, though, right? We want to give him at least that. He said it was his fault for calling that pass play. He said it was his fault for, I'm saying he took some responsibility today.
Guys, 3-18 on the road. What other owner would accept a coach like that? I don't know of any. Do you know of any who would keep a coach like that? I don't know of any. Not one owner would keep someone 3-18 on the road. And that's not just 1 year. I mean, that's over 3 years. How much longer do we have to put up with a bad coach? So now I put the blame on the GM. So I'm sorry, guys. It's not the personal. It's a professional decision. The GM is not making the right calls.
I hear you. Thanks for the call, Johnny in Las Vegas. Chicago Johnny in Las Vegas. Make sure you hit me up. I'm going to be here for the next couple of weeks, too, doing overnights. So I'm down to make these bonds at 12 o'clock. And if you're calling in this hour, we can just stay consistent with each other every single Monday morning right here on 670 The Score. I think we do have to remember that when Poles brought in Flus, even he himself probably thought, I would love for this guy to be the guy, but I have no problem taking a shot on a first-time coach to kind of hold this down. We've seen that far too often in baseball, White Sox, Cubs, where you hire a manager, Ross, where you hire a manager just to kind of, right the ship in the present, but you're not going to be the guy to get us there, i.e., Craig Counsell, right? And so I think the idea was there. And then again, you owe him money. There's no, why bring, I guess the Caleb Williams thing, bringing in a coach a brand new coach for Caleb Williams to kind of work with him from the very beginning. But again, you wanted to give Flus the benefit of the doubt, right? And I guess it's things are being highlighted right now. But again, this thing, when you're talking about Flus, there's it's like how he's handling high pressure situations, how he's adjusting his game plan. He's known for his defense, but you know they struggle in certain situations where he's calling a play that leads to a 50-yard scram or touchdown run. It's tough. A lot of blame to go around. 312-644-6767 is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Taking your calls. Let's go to Joe out in Green Bay. Joe, good to talk to you again, man. So why are you frustrated this morning?
Hey, man. It's good to talk to you. I got several reasons why I'm frustrated. But first, I mean, this is a Plumbers 911 Bears Monday morning. Well, I say we got to call 911 and get Matt Eberflus arrested for that atrocious performance. All right. But, yeah, on a serious note, though, I mean, I've had it up to here with them. I think
let me ask the question here. What's the – like, because I get it. The Bears are losing and you're pissed. I get it that, you know, you're not necessarily the best coach in the NFL. I get that. But what is, like, everything was maybe not perfect, but everything was okay a couple of weeks ago. Like, what's the biggest issue for you right now with Coach Eberflus?
Well, you know, that raises a good question, because why isn't this team ever prepared to play after the bye? This has been a recurring thing for a long time. But it runs deeper than that. But I think, you know, the nail on the coffin for me was that free touchdown that the Cardinals had right before the half, where they had that third string running back and then the defense wasn't lined up properly for it. And that's like, I was done with them last week and now I'm officially done with them. He's just like, I don't know. I mean, I think he's a good defensive guy, but he's just not cut out to be an NFL head coach. And we've seen so many examples of that, which is really poor decisions. And, you know, 2022, that was like the teardown year. I mean, they weren't going to do anything anyway, so I gave him the benefit of doubt with that. And then last year, you know, they started rough. He held the team together, and then they had a relatively decent finish to the year outside of losing to Green Bay. Now it's just like, where do you go from here? I mean, you have all this talent on the roster, which some of which is underperforming, at Keenan Allen, for one. I'm not exempting Caleb Williams or anyone else from some of the blame, because Caleb, you know, he missed a couple wide open throws and whatever. But the real reason, like, why I think the Bears have lost these last 2 weeks is just the coaching decisions. You know, obviously it was a Hail Mary last week. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because I'm sure you heard enough of it, but.
Joe, let me ask you this, man, because I feel like I'm trying to wrap my mind around the Eberflus thing, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. I think that he's not the caliber of coach you need to take you to the next level with this specific team. But I'm going to throw some defensive coaches at you, right? Like, that's what Eberflus would be considered. And I want you to tell me if Eberflus is better or worse than these coaches, right? Guys that are focused on defense but still somehow find a way to manage their team. And these are guys from past and present, okay?
Yep. I'm ready.
So first, I'll just go with an easy one that he's not better than, and it is Mike Tomlin, right? Defensive guy, is the head coach. I think we can agree on that easily. Not that. I wanted to set the bar high over there. All right. How about D'Amico Ryans in Houston? Is Eberflus better than him?
Well,
the answer is no. I'll help you out with this one. The answer is no. Okay.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott.
Buffalo Bills. No,
absolutely not. All right. Here's a curveball for you. Robert Saleh.
Oh, that is a good curveball. They're close. They're pretty close if you ask me.
There's one difference between the two. One of them's not coaching in the NFL anymore. And so if they're close, that's the issue. Joe, I appreciate the phone call, man. I mean, listen, this is what I'm talking about, right? When you want to give Coach Flus the benefit of the doubt, but then when you put him up against some of the better some of the defensive-minded coaches in the NFL, even in the past, if you look at Todd Bowles, is he better than Todd Bowles? No. Is he better than Mike Vrabel, former coach of the Tennessee? No. Ron Rivera? Is he in that Ron Rivera group?
I mean, Ron Rivera did make it to a Super Bowl.
That's my point. That's my point. You're, not, my point is, he is not good enough. Right? Every coach that I just named, he is not better than, significantly better than.
I would have said no to Robert Saleh also. I know he just got fired, but he has a better track record as a defensive coordinator than Eberflus does.
Would you want Robert Saleh on the sidelines of the Chicago Bears right now instead of Coach Flus?
I would take Robert Saleh over Matt Eberflus.
Of course you would. Of course you would. Because he'd probably be having the defense play the same exact way. It's just about decision making. Ooh. We know how that went over in New York. All right. I want to take some more phone calls. Got more things to talk about. See a couple lines open. Make your way in. What do you have to say about this team? Is Coach Eberflus better than any of the names that I mentioned? And do you think he'll make it to the end of the season? We kind of know the answer to that. 312-644-6767. More calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Bears fall to the Arizona Cardinals 29-9. What a sad day it was. Bears fall to 500, 4-4 on the season, last place in the NFC North. Tough day for the Chicago Bears, to say the least. 16 first downs, 10 via the pass, 5 via the rush. 3 for 14 on third down. 3 for 14? If there's one thing that stood out for me, it was the inability for Shane Waldron to run the football on first down under center. When they did it in the first half, it worked mightily. Mightily. Then for whatever reason, they would just get away from it. I talked about Gannon and how when he saw the run was working, 8 straight runs, 9 straight runs, who cares? If it keeps working, run the ball. Run. Bears, first down, run the ball, every other down. Caleb Williams, you're the man. You have a hodgepodge offensive line, a literal piece together rag doll of an offensive line. It felt like Matt Nagy. 5 wide, 4 wide with DeAndre Swift going in motion out of the backfield. I'm like, what is going on here? Why are you making this so difficult for Caleb Williams? 1st and 10, go get 10, Caleb. When they went for it on 4th and 11, every single play before that, it was a long pass for Caleb Williams. He's running for his life out there. Just dumb it down. Dump it off. Call a screen. Call a draw. Anything. Call a slant. Anything to make it easy. There was one play where it was 3rd and 2 because the Bears finally had a 3rd and 2. Caleb converted it so easily. It was like a little hitch route, little slant route. So easy. It's much easier to convert that than a 3rd and 10, than a 2nd and 10 trying to pass the ball like that. It just made no sense to me. What did you think about the game? 312-644-6767. Going to be taking your phone calls. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Olin Kuch is going crazy on the post game. We'll play some of that for you in a little bit. He'll be on with Mully and Haw at 7. DJ Moore, oh my God, 8 o'clock. You're going to want to listen to him with Mully and Haw. Brad Biggs at 9. Bernstein and Harris, they got Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 12. Then Spiegel and Holmes. Kurt Warner at 3. Mark Grody at 4. And then, which Jalen Johnson are you going to get at 5 o'clock? Make sure you set your alarms to go ahead and listen to that. All right. Let's go to Robert out on the north side. Robert, what did you think about the coaching yesterday?
I thought it was terrible. I was really frustrated with theirs. It was like pre-Montez Sweat. They were not able to start, you know, to stop the run, especially the last call of the Bears letting them score another touchdown right before the half. I couldn't believe it. It was like deja vu of last week. So I guess it sucks because, you know, we had high expectations and I was looking at the Bears schedule during the break. They might not win more than one more game because they play the Patriots, right? Next week. But then they play all these good teams in our division plus the Seahawks. So there's a chance that they're going to go 5-11 or 5-12. the season. So it sucks because, you know, we have, you're right. They're about a year away, and like the best situation would be for the Bears to lose a lot of games, have Eberflus get fired, and then hire Ben Johnson from Detroit to become the head coach.
Yeah, a lot of people on board with that idea. It'd be interesting to see if he makes the jump to, you know, from the Lions to the Bears. Certainly going to be getting a lot of eyes on him following this season and the offensive explosion that is the Detroit Lions. Where do you feel like it went wrong for Coach Eberflus, Robert? Like, I mean, you know, obviously it's over the course of some years. It's hard to, you know, people, oh, you can't gauge him because he doesn't have a good team. Now he has a good team and you get to see it. But it, you know, but people have felt this way prior to this season. So for you, when was that?
It was definitely last week. I was open to giving him another chance, but last week when he was playing very, you know, like they weren't playing really tight defense. They were kind of loose, letting Washington, you know, get some easy yardage right before the play. It just seems like, I guess it went wrong for him when he, last year, when he had all those leads, especially against the Broncos, that game specifically with the Broncos, when we were up by 4 touchdowns and then he let, you know, they came back and beat us. And then it was kind of like a continuation of that with the next 3 to 4 games. So I would say when we were playing the Broncos last year.
Let me ask you this too, because I want to move over to the offensive coordinator. I don't know if you heard, but Lou Getsy, former Chicago Bear, offensive coordinator, just got fired by the Raiders. You're looking at Shane Waldron. I was actually talking to somebody on my BetQL show that airs here on The Score, somebody from the Seattle Seahawks, Michael Bumpus, former Seahawk player. And I asked him about Shane Waldron because obviously they're dealing with difficulties out there as well in Seattle. And he couldn't believe the Bears hired Shane Waldron. He couldn't believe it. This is, I'm talking to this guy on Saturday. This is just the other day, or excuse me, 2 days ago. And on Saturday, and he's telling me like, yeah, you know what? It was really shocking because he wasn't a guy that can get the job done. This is his words, not mine. He said when the bright lights were on Sunday, they always felt like Shane Waldron just couldn't get it done. And that he couldn't believe the Bears would allow him to handle Caleb Williams. What do you think about the job that Shane Waldron's done so far?
Prior to the last 2 weeks, I would say he was doing okay, but I would like to see them have more of a balance. I'd like to see them run more and then, you know, then also include the pass because you can't have Caleb Williams throwing the ball so many times.
You can't.
Especially if you're putting yourself, you know, with a young rookie quarterback in a position like that not to succeed.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the call, Robert. The issue with Shane Waldron and, you know, you hear Caleb Williams, and we'll play his post-game presser in a little bit. Caleb Williams talked about communication on game day. And he's talked about that several times over. Communication, and it needing to be better. I'm not sure where the gap is between Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams, but you see levels of frustration there. I think the issue for me with Shane Waldron is when I watch the Bears play, and I watch a lot of it on mute sometimes when I go back and watch it because my kids are sleeping. But when I watch the game without influence from the announcers, it looks like they're asking, and I'm not just talking about, you know, third and long and second and long. They're asking too much from Caleb Williams. Shane Waldron and the Chicago Bears are expecting too much from him in the present. If you see that he's talented, you can say to yourself, damn, this guy is going to do so much for us, .. In the future, in the present, our game plan and our identity needs to be different and understandably so than from what it shall be in the future. And by that, I mean, to Robert's point, run the damn ball. Who cares if it's boring? Who cares if you got a play up? You know when the first time the Bears did a play action pass? The second quarter. That seems wild to me after having multiple possessions in the first. You know why you couldn't do a play action pass in the first? Because you'd never ran the ball enough. You never even put yourself in a position. There needs to be deception. There needs to be change of direction. Things that can make it easier for Caleb Williams. He is certainly capable of orchestrating a drive, a methodical drive down the field. But damn, when you ask his ass to step back, And shotgun, we're going to get 15, 20 yards in this play every single time because we know you're so dynamic and we know we have great wide receivers. So let's play Madden and call, you know, damn, I haven't played Madden in so long. I couldn't think of the play. What is it? Go routes. All go routes. But what's the play called, though? Tyler, I'm trying to think. In Madden. It's like an actual play call.
Oh, no, no, no. I know what you're talking about.
Or like where three go out and one goes like a post route, you know, and it's a play. Anyway, that's how I felt. That's what I felt I was watching. Like, what is going on here? What were you watching? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Andrew out in Carpentersville. Andrew, what do you think about this coaching staff the Bears have?
Oh, my God. Gabe, this is honestly the first time I'm hearing you talk, and I think you're just making too much sense. Honestly, like, I've agreed with every single point. Like, Eberflus, it's crazy. This guy's got to go. And what's crazy that you brought up a name that I haven't heard, but my brother has been screaming this name, but Vrabel. He's been saying we should have had Vrabel instead of Eberflus this whole time. And, you know, looking back at it, at this point in time, you can't disagree that he would be a much better option than what we have.
It just seems like a more veteran presence, right? Someone that's been there before. And I think a lot of times you want to give Eberflus grace, Andrew, because he hasn't been in that Hail Mary situation before and understanding what to do, right? So he makes the mistake for the first time. You hope he learns from it. But this Bears team, as talented as it is, needs someone that has been there before. It needs a veteran presence, someone that understands situational football because they've been there before, not because they've been around it, but because they've actually been there before. And I think that's what's missing from Eberflus. And listen, that's why you lose a locker room, right? When you got guys like Jalen Johnson, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. I mean, did you notice the disconnect between those two receivers that I just mentioned and Caleb Williams today during that game?
100%. Like at the end where Keenan Allen, he kind of dropped, or it wasn't a drop ball. He was on the sideline, a little bit overthrown. Yep. He could have had a toe tap. Like after that play, he had the ball. He kind of just threw it and went straight to the sideline. He looked disinterested in the game. It was just awful overall.
Yeah, it looked like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen at certain points, different points. It's hard to say. There was even one moment, Andrew, where DJ Moore was going in motion because Caleb Williams was like, dude, over here, like go in motion. It was in third quarter. And DJ, you just saw his body language and he was just like, man, whatever. I'll go over here. And it was like, I was like, oh no, this is so obvious. I'm watching it play out here. And you saw that a lot in years past when DJ Moore would get, you know, overthrown by Justin Fields or, you know, he'd be like, or Tyson Bagent and just be like, damn, what's going on here? And to see the two veteran wide receivers not want to pick up Caleb, it worries me about the dynamic between the vets and the rookie QB who feels like he should be doing so much more.
I totally agree with that. We need a leader, especially for the amount of young guys that we have with Odunze, with Caleb Williams. You need someone that's going to give them confidence, that's going to get them motivated. And it's not coming from, as you're saying, it's not coming from the supposed leaders on our offense, but it's clearly not coming from the coaches either.
Yeah, it's definitely something to be frustrated about. And it's interesting because you're asking your rookie quarterback to come in, be a savior, break records, break rookie records, you know, put up 30 points a game because of the weapons he has on offense. But then you have these veterans, these established veterans in the wide receiver room who are not going to listen to that. Caleb Williams is like, yeah, he's a little sassy or whatever it is. You know, he's a little diva or something like that about DJ Moore. You can laugh about that. But deep down inside, DJ Moore's like, what, bro? Give me the ball. Target me 10 times before you start joking with me like that. I don't know. There's something there. There's a lack of respect, I think, between the two, where Caleb wants more respect from, and this is pure speculation. This is me reading body language, trying to put my behavioral communication degree to work. Caleb would like a little more respect because he's the leader of the team as the quarterback. And DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and are like, nah, bruh. We're the future Hall of Famers. You better respect. It's interesting. But that's what the coach's job is, right? To get those guys to play the best that they possibly can. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Therapist Gabe is in the building. And I'm ready to talk. Let's go to Kurt out in Flagstaff. Kurt, why did you feel like it was deja vu? Why do you feel like it's currently deja vu?
No, it's the exact same thing. I mean, whether it was Ryan Pace or Ryan Poles, they always hire an inexperienced head coach who then hires idiots, really, for OC and DC. And, you know, we saw that with Pace and Nagy. And, you know, we had a young quarterback then, you know, right in field. And, of course, it didn't work out. Now we have Ryan Poles there. He hires Matt Eberflus, no experience as a head coach. He hires a moron as an OC. And you have Caleb Williams, which they'll probably destroy. It's just, it happens over and over and over again. This is the Bears, you know. And people get fired up and think, you know, oh, we got a good team. We're really going to go somewhere. But the second they play good teams, the party's over.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. When you're looking at the coaches for the Chicago Bears, right, and you mentioned newer guys, it's like it's almost as if John Fox put a bad taste in the Bears' mouth after getting a coach.
Oh, this goes way beyond. It goes all the way back to everyone pretty much that's followed Ditka. You know, after Ditka, it went down the crapper.
Yeah, only
and
one
what happened.
Only one coach has a plus 500 record and that is eye popping, and that is Lovie Smith. Since then, every other coach has been below 500. Yep. Matt Nagy, three games
and
over 500, but that was because of one good season. Yeah, well, and they fired him. I mean, again, it is tough. But again, when you're looking at this list outside of Lovie Smith, especially when you go back to Mike Ditka, it's like, who is the imposing figure that, whether it be a GM or a coach, that comes into Chicago and writes the ship? The assumption was that it was going to be.
I can tell you why it doesn't. Okay. I can tell you exactly
all
why
right.
It doesn't.
I'm listening.
They won't spend the money on staff, whether it's a GM, whether it's a coach. Do you think the Bears would ever hire somebody like McVay or Sean Payton? Of course not, because they'd have to pay him $15 million a year. You can get a guy with no experience for a third of that, and that's what they do. This is the Bears, and it'll never change until there's new ownership. And so far as this OC, has he ever heard of a slant? They get pressured all the time.
All the time.
How do you stop when they just come after Williams, you know, the quarterback? How do you stop that? You stop it with screens. You stop it with slants. They don't have that in their playbook, you know. Instead, this is exactly like Matt Nagy. Let's throw it 20 yards downfield. Well, your quarterback's going to be on his back.
It's exactly what we saw, too, in that situation, which was unfortunate. Thanks for the call, Kurt. But, you know, you bring up some great points. And I talk about it often. I know what went wrong in Chicago this season. Coach Flus, the Bears, I talk about this often, and it is our fault. And by our, I mean the fans. It's our fault. When the Bears are 4-2, everybody's feeling themselves. Why? Because the fans are out here tweeting everything. Caleb Williams is the greatest thing ever. Coach Flus got everybody playing strong. Hits principle. Let's go, baby. Flus, I see you at a restaurant. Meals comped. Everything's comped. You're the greatest thing ever. Tyrique Stevenson, you're amazing. Jalen Johnson, nobody throws you the ball. Amazing. And these guys are. But then what happens is, it's hard. I was just talking to somebody about this. It is hard as a member of the Chicago Bears organization to stay focused on winning, to remain equally as hungry. It is hard. Because Flus comes in, a defensive coordinator from Indianapolis. You come to Chicago, you're the head coach, you get Caleb Williams, you get the top five defense, and you're feeling yourself. and you waver a bit. You're not as focused as you were a couple of weeks ago. You think you got it in the bag. You think you show up and you're the Bears. I've seen it far too often. And then what happens? On the final play of a game, you're looking at the crowd. Because you think you've done it already. I've seen this happen far too often. So you look at a Flus. Flus today looked like a different man. Looked like he got his ass whooped by like 200 Chicagoans. And he was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know, man. This is crazy. That's what it sounded like. He didn't look jovial. He wasn't happy. I don't understand they were losing, but he looked like a guy that was dreading going to the podium for the postgame. Even his postgame was depressing. But this is what happens. I'm going to take one more time before we go to break. Let's go to Tracy on the south side. Tracy, good to talk to you again. Just want to get you in real quick before we go to break. You said everything was terrible, huh?
Yes, everything. I really could. I'm an offensive coordinator. He wouldn't run the ball for nothing, and he will not throw the ball to commit for nothing. I don't know what's going on for him to commit, but whatever it is, he better get it over because he needs him.
Yeah, I agree. And Cole Kmet's certainly somebody that a lot of people were wondering what was going on there. It's the inconsistency of the offense. There is zero identity with this team. And I think it's because of the internal battle going on in Shane Waldron's mind. I have Caleb Williams. I have Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore. I have DeAndre Swift. I have to be a mad scientist. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can run the ball on first, and even if you have those three receivers, here's an idea. Run the ball again on second. And I don't know. Maybe if that works, run it again on third. A first down without Caleb Williams having to do anything? Ugh, what a concept. Three plays where Caleb Williams doesn't get sacked, unlike the three straight sacks he had during the game? Come on. It's embarrassing. Six sacks for 45 yards. It's just embarrassing. 16 rushes for 51 for DeAndre Swift. Six catches for 31. That was because five of them happened on the last drive of the game. All right, I want to take some more phone calls. You got to be equally as frustrated as I am. Thoughts on the Chicago Bears team? And listen, I know Caleb Williams is a goon. I see the throws. What'd you think about his performance today? 312-644-6767. Your phone call's next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.